The first thing we're going to ask is, can we and how will we fuck it?
Yeah.
What's the topic of the week?
It's a little selfish because I'm an artist, so it's an art topic. But
wait a second. Who are you?
John Reed.
Wait.
Dun, dun, dun.
And who are you?
I call him Daddy. I don't know what you call him, though.
Tyler Malter.
And who am I?
Oh, who is this guy?
You tell me.
Sean Murphy.
That's me. Oh, we got it. Okay, I'm sorry.
Sean Murphy.
That's us, and we are here for Hypothetically Speaking. Hypothetical this. Hypothetically, what is our name?
Kickstart this. Hypothetically Speaking.
Thank you very much.
If that's who you really are.
Yeah, he didn't want to say his name because he's impersonating Sean.
That's right.
And he was like, I don't really know my name. Like, you guys tell me what my name is so I don't get it wrong.
But it was part of the thing. I asked you. I can't, just say who I am.
Yeah, because you could get it wrong. That's right. And then we would know for sure you're not Sean.
I definitely didn't let him in the house, so I'm just going to go with, I'm going to trust you on that one.
Yeah. Well, there was a welcome mat, so that let me in.
Okay.
Vampires.
That's right, thank you.
They're the worst.
Sorry, please go on. What's
okay, so it's an art topic, and it's one I've had with people before. So let's say, for instance, artwork is removed from tabletop gaming, and specifically tabletop gaming, because you can't really remove artwork from video games, because then it wouldn't be a video game anymore.
Yeah, it's a visual medium. You can't,
right.
Yeah.
So from tabletop gaming, we remove artwork. So think of like Pokemon cards, board games, Magic the Gathering. The artwork is just... Right? I've heard Magic players say, oh, well, I don't really play the game for the art. I don't really care about the art. I could actually do without the art. It's really just the mechanics and the rules of the game that keep me coming back and being competitive and stuff like that, which I find pretty interesting because I try to imagine a black and white card with just text on it, and I guess you can get away with it, and I guess if you're really competitive, you can just look at it like chess.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of an impact would it have? So,
before we dive in, I kind of want to ask some clarification questions on the topic. So when you say no artwork, like Magic and Pokemon have symbols to denote different types, would we still include that?
Right.
Are
okay.
you talking about main photos and like
right the imagery, like okay. like, because obviously, you know, we can sit here and we can debate all day long about what art is, right? I mean, so long as I think they say, like, so long as there's intent, it's art. So
sure.
You could turn a urinal upside down and suddenly it's a piece of art if you meant something for
which
it.
Which is the only art I decorate my house with.
But you could also say like formatting or fonts or, as you said, iconography.
Right. Yeah, right.
And,
yeah.
And I would say, in my interpretation, would be that iconography exists but purely for its differentiation standpoint. Like,
right.
You're not approaching it from an aesthetic standpoint. It's, like you said, again, everything could be art.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, no.
Okay. So let's say
I just wanted to clarify.
Well, let's start with the biggest one. So Wizards of the Coast produces or manufactures Magic the Gathering, the game. They own it, they produce it, and it's probably one of the...
it is the largest.
The largest tabletop game, or the one tabletop game with the largest art asset attached to it, right? I think they pump out the most artwork for their game than any other... Because, I mean, you look at a Yu-Gi-Oh card, Blue Eyes White Dragon is the same one just about every... card that it's ever printed on.
They do a lot of printing, reprints and stuff.
Right.
And Pokemon has unique art for every card.
Right, but Charizard, let's say Charizard adheres to a certain design, sure. But how many times has Evolving Wilds been reprinted with different artwork?
Yeah.
So,
but you have those, like the Planeswalkers and stuff. But
right, right.
Despite all of that, Magic comes out with 260 card sets. Yu-Gi-Oh! Comes out with usually 70 to 80 card sets. And Pokemon hangs around the 100 card
right.
set mark. So even those that do have unique art like Pokemon, even though the character in the middle is generally the same concept each time and the background just changes, there's only 100 different unique art pieces per set as opposed to Magic that produces twice as many on the same
right, yeah, section. And even though they reprint some of the same artwork for cards, I mean, they also change it
yeah,
a lot too.
Yeah.
So... If you were to remove the artwork from the card or the board game, right? If there's a picture of a character on it or some sort of scene or whatever, or like even on Pokemon, the Pokemon itself, if you were to just completely remove those elements, right? So it's going to still be like, you know, a blue card to signify that it's a blue spell in Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have the little blue icon, of course, all that. But let's say you take the picture out of it and instead you just have like one big card full of text, right? So the text becomes bigger or whatever.
Do you even have a name?
The name of the card?
Do you have like is this the badass scuttle crab? Or is it just like
it could, I mean the names will probably change because now you don't have
just blue creature. Because
typically the way, because Magic the Gathering is very story driven, right? So the artwork is story, it has a narrative to it. So for all of you aspiring magic artists, you better get good at narrative. So the name of the card usually either depicts it tells you a story behind the mechanic. The artwork helps tell the story of the card because they have flavorful cards, you know. Or it's a title of like the creature or the planeswalker. Like every Jace planeswalker is going to be called Jace, right?
Sure.
And that's important with like they. I know I was listening to a podcast where you told me one or the other that said that every magic card that has the keyword flying on it has a creature in flight.
Right.
You can't have a creature landed or even with wings. If it has flying, they are flying in the card work, because, or in the artwork, because that's what pushes that narrative that that card is a flying card. You can't just hit it from the ground.
Right. So, the names of cards would probably change a little bit, because if you could have like a creature, you couldn't have Jace Bellerin and then have nothing but text on the card, because then you're like, well, who's Jace, right? So it would probably just be like the Blue Wizard or something, right? Something ridiculous.
Yeah, sure.
So which games would actually succeed from a lack of artwork because the art is just absolutely terrible or it has absolutely no significance on the game itself, and which games would completely disappear as a result because the art is so significant to it that it's a part of the game as much as the mechanic and design of the game, or the game's design and its mechanics and features are a part of it.
So my angle when I heard this question is a little bit more from the production side and actually how artwork and how the artistic symbology, just the artistic function of
you
it.
You said symbology.
I know. The artistic.
Oh, okay.
Version. The integrity of the art, how that actually reinforces rule sets and actually sells the game, not necessarily just world building, but just from a face value, how that would impact selling the game. I will tell you though that there is a game with absolutely no artistic integrity that is, it sells gangbusters, and that's Cards Against Humanity.
Right.
Yeah, it has absolutely no art at all.
Yeah.
Not even on the box. And it almost sells itself on this lack of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that one interesting. It's great that I lead with that one because I'm going to get to my point throughout this conversation of how critical the art assets are, and not only understanding and explaining rules, as we talk about with like reinforcing function, like flying animals or creatures always have flying, but also from an advertising standpoint. My background that brings me to this conversation is having been very involved in the board game industry, and all the way to alpha and beta testing board games. And that's an interesting process because a lot of the time you're dealing with almost no art assets at all. Mm-hmm. So it's some even very big name developers who would send us games to play. They record us, you put a camera up, and you go through the process. And it's got to be agonizing to them because you're trying to interpret the rules and how everything's set up, mm-hmm. but they know exactly how it's supposed to play.
Right.
And they just have to watch like a 2-hour video of you fucking the rules up, which is great. But there's almost no assets at all. So, and I bring this up before we get to answering our questions because I want this to influence your decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that functionality and advertising is almost the most important, because you have a C. You live in a world now where board games, there's copious amounts of choices. It's not like you have the Milton Bradleys and the Hasbros. Like, at this point, you have $150 board games that are truly being sold the majority off of intellectual property and recouping costs for research and development.
Right.
So, most of the time when a board game is like going through Kickstarter, when it's looking for those art assets, almost everything's been done on the game. But they still have lofty goals for cost because they are. It's like that starving artist that has a movie script and he's traveling around Hollywood and trying to push that script. He's already put everything into it. He's on his last penny, and just selling that is going to recoup. It's not like he's got all this money in the bank, right? I mean, that's the idea. So these developers, we'd see these games that have no art assets at all, and it's brutal. So one that I could talk about is Pandemic Legacy. So I don't know if you've heard of the Pandemic series.
Nope.
It's great. It's the idea of the game is it's fully cooperative, and there's you have a whole map of the world. It's realistic, and there is a virus outbreak. So you all
constantly.
Dang. So it's a huge, like, world-ending virus, and there's multiple viruses, and they all have different functionality, and you have different roles. Like, you may be CDC, or like the disease. You may be like paramedics,
or
you may be like the person who's supposed to educate, and you all have different abilities, and all those abilities are denoted also from graphics.
The best way to describe Pandemic Legacy for those who don't know, it's essentially Risk, except you are fighting against diseases as a team instead of each other across a map of the world. That's like the super basic version of it.
Well, and it's one against many instead of many against many, which would be how Risk is.
Yeah.
It's still management, like character management, but you have so much, even in a game like that, like you think of Risk and it's graphically pretty vague.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about some of the nuances. Like, so we get all the cards, and when you get cards in a beta, they typically don't have any printing on the back. It's like just the valued information. And there may even be something like a placeholder or just a titling. Well, there's so much that you can do with placement of a design on a card that artistically is influencing, like, differentiating what cards are what. You know, and a lot of times we were having difficulty identifying what cards needed to be in what stacks and how those cards needed to be formatted. A great example of that is like Super Dungeon Explorer, which is like a dungeon crawling game.
Right.
You have your character and he's a card, a single card like a Magic or a trading card game. And then as you get equipment, they're also cards, but like the left hemisphere is the text for the armor piece or the shield. And so you slide it behind your card, so just the left hemisphere is displayed. And then the right hemisphere is your sword. So you know when you pick those up that they where they go based on graphic design and the, you know, how the art is depicted.
Right.
So, you know, I want to keep that in mind because you've got these games that they have all the mechanics there, but just the lack of art really means lack of direction. You know, it really hurts the defining idea of the game. Like, how is this supposed to work and how does it relate to the other functions within the game? Because I mean, if you took away the intellectual property, if you took away the theme, I mean, it would have the same kind of gravity, the same kind of effect.
Right.
It's like your mechanics are all there, and you can throw out all the mechanics and make a game out of it, but what are you even doing at that point? You're just, like, pushing a number scale left and right.
Yeah, exactly.
So context is really one of the most valuable things, I think, that art brings to a game. And when I think about the magic point, of whether you could just remove the picture and everybody says, oh, you just remove it. Well, we'd just love the mechanics. But you're lacking context.
Right.
And context is so valuable. Like, makes or breaks the game. So I just want to get my point in, but before we dive into games that we think would succeed or fail without it, I'm going to get off my soapbox.
I mean, you bring up really valid points. The first thing I thought of when the question was given to us, the first thing I thought of was Settlers of Catan. Settlers of Catan is a very basic resource management game, and it's a very simple game. I hate the aesthetic of the box art. And that box art made me not play the game for like 7 years. I would see it everywhere. I had multiple opportunities to play it, but every time I looked at that box art, where it's like this really washed out looking like field and ugly people walking on the field, it never spoke to me. And it's very much a don't judge the book by its cover scenario, which is really important in the box art of video games or of board games. But they, like, Settlers of Catan never really spoke to me as a game I would want to play. Then one day I sat down, read the rule book, learned how to play, and it's a good game and I enjoy the game, and it's one of the more fun games that I've played. But I definitely think in just the presentation of it, it hurts itself choosing that aesthetic that it has.
So I want to talk to this because I have a rule, and it's people having a good time on the box.
Yep.
So the box needs to have an action scene or people smiling. It's kind of like if you were to sell something to somebody and you're trying to convince them to buy it, simply smiling and a light nod of approval, encouraging this positive reinforcement is great. Rio Grande games, Settlers of Catan, they look so unhappy. Like, Dominion, it's like, look at this impoverished area. Would you like to sit down for 4 hours and live with these impoverished people? And I'm like, fucking hell no. This one's got the Hulk, and, like, he's just hates everyone. Mm-hmm. And I want to hate everyone, too. Like, that sounds like a good time.
It's like the artwork is so abysmal that you don't want to play it, but for those who bit, they have fun with it, and it's like a dirty secret that they have, that they know that game is funny, even though you don't want to play it.
There's been so many times where, even in like our friends that, you know, that you would know, John, and you would know Sean, like there's friends that I have pulled that game out and been like, you guys should sit down and play this with me, it's really fun. But you look at the box and you're immediately like, it looks too complicated, and it doesn't look like I'm going to have fun doing this.
See, that's exactly the point.
It takes real convincing.
The game is good in spite of itself.
Yeah.
And that's how you sell it. And you can find yourself, the next time you're trying to sell, like especially a board game off of its intellectual property or assets, think about it from that aspect. Think about how you sell the game. Like, the new Dark Souls game came out, and I could go to somebody who knows Dark Souls, and they know what to expect, and they're already visualizing the world. They're not visualizing the mechanics mm-hmm. as much as they're visualizing the world right. and those how it spoke to them or how it felt. Now, if I was in a room full of people where there was no value to the Dark Souls brand, then I would have to sell it off its mechanics. Mm-hmm. I would sell it in spite of being a Dark Souls game. Mm-hmm. A great example to me is Battlestar Galactica. Sure. Don't give a shit about the Battlestar Galactica world, the property. I understand that the mechanics sort of reinforce the idea of Battlestar Galactica. It's like a traitor mechanic. You don't know who's a Cylon. I've never seen the show. I'm sure it's very faithful from the people that I've spoke with. But I absolutely sell the game in spite of its intellectual property. In spite of its design, of graphically.
You're right, right. Man, I think the game that would probably hurt the most. Taking the art away from it. And I want to say Magic the Gathering, but I don't think Magic the Gathering would hurt. I think Magic the Gathering's biggest demographic are its casual players. The guys that build the fun decks and they play at the F&Ms just for a few packs, you know, per night. They don't go and play in the Grand Prix or the Pro Tours, you know. I mean, they might, like, to see what it's like or because, you know, they want to
because
have some fun. Right,
it's
yeah. You know, why not? My buddies are going, I might as well go. But if you look at the number of like ultra competitive players, it's really small, right? You have to grind and grind and grind, and you never win your money back. You know, you invest money into the game and the prize pool is never enough for what you've put into it. I would say Pokemon would probably hurt the most, because if you think about the game, the art is as much of a part of the mechanic of the card as anything, right? So
evolution and identity.
Yeah, so if I have, say, a Charizard card, to go back to my first example, and I take the picture of Charizard out, you can call it a Charizard card, and it's got, you know, moves of a Charizard, but I could call it anything at that point, and it's no longer really a Charizard card. I could call it...
It loses its identity.
Right, I could call it Charmander with a 4 energy cost flamethrower or something like that, you know? And who would you... What? You wouldn't know any better, you know?
It doesn't get the identity of the card from the name. It gets it from the artwork.
Right, exactly.
Well, sure, yeah. As somebody who plays Pokemon quite a bit, and I thrive in the realm of logic and mechanics, I would not play the game if there was not the art that was present.
Yeah, and someone was saying, like, well, it's not that important. And I'm like, well, okay, let's take Charizard out of it and let's put Jigglypuff in it instead. You have a Charizard card with the name Charizard. It's red. It's got the Charizard abilities, but it's got a picture of Jigglypuff on it, and there's no Charizard. Someone's going to look at that and go, well, this isn't a Charizard card. This is a Jigglypuff card.
See, I'm back on board again.
But they're not going to say... This is a Charizard card with a Jigglypuff picture. They're going to say, no, this is a Jigglypuff card because it's depicting Jigglypuff in the artwork.
Yeah, that's a very valid point.
So when you take that away, you just kill it. You kill the game completely. Something like Magic the Gathering, it has a very specific mechanic, a very specific design, and the art doesn't necessarily determine what the mechanic is, you know what I mean? So like Charizard can only learn so many abilities as a creature in the game, right? It can't learn certain types of moves because it's not tailored to that Pokemon. If you were to give it that move or something like that, you'd be completely ruining. Someone would look at it and they would call bullshit right away. They'd be like, well, he can't learn that move. Why does he have it on the card? You know? But if I see a picture of Jace Bellerin on a Magic the Gathering card, it can have any number of effects, any number of whatever, and I'll say, yeah, oh, well, that's just a little bit of flavor thrown in there, or, oh, that's definitely him, you know, because he does that, or whatever. But, sure. Or I could have Jace Bellerin-like effects, but have a depiction of someone else in the card, or like an event, or a landscape, or something, and it doesn't matter. It's, the mechanic is still the mechanic,
and,
right?
And I think that that comes from a place of, like you were talking about, like the identity of the card. Like, in Magic, you create the card, and then you give the artist direction for the card.
Right.
This is going to be a flying snake monster that attacks things from the air, so give me something along those lines. And then the artist created around what the card does. So if you stopped at that point, like Sean was talking about earlier with Pandemic, you're losing out on the visualization of the action of the card, but you're not losing out on the card itself. The card is still the same card whether it has the artwork or not. It just adds a layer of complexity and confusion to people in how you would handle that card,
right?
Or maybe the visualization of playing it. So it turns in, it goes from you are two mages casting spells and battling out on the battlefield to you are two guys playing with Cards Against Humanity cards battling out on a table.
Right, exactly.
Well, my plus five thing removes two from your plus five to make it a three.
Yep.
Right.
And then my
yep.
three hits you back for a one.
Yeah. So my giant snake eats
yeah,
you,
it's like the design of the creature itself has already set the stage for what the mechanic of the card is going to be in Pokemon. So when you remove right. that, you've removed the mechanic,
yeah,
essentially.
Well, it's really integral.
You can't fight the idea, like, okay, would your game still be fun if it didn't have art? Because you're not, you don't live in that world. You've never been subjected to it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of find a quick and blatant disregard, like, oh yeah, no, I'd be fine. I think that's really silly.
Yeah, it's like two blank cards. One can do a water gun and one can do a flamethrower, and you're left to your imagination on what those creatures are exactly.
Yeah.
Which leads me into my game that would succeed the most, and has always succeeded based on imagination, is Dungeons & Dragons. Because
sure.
I don't know how long you guys have been playing, but since I was a kid, I've had the original Dungeons & Dragons books
mm-hmm.
where you were a rogue and you were reading through the book, and if you chose to do a certain something or rolled a certain die, you had to flip to that page and that event or whatever. You know, the advanced Dungeons & Dragons where it was just purely pencil and paper versus how it's evolved over time where you now have miniatures and dioramas and things like that.
Absolutely.
But you can always go back to just pencil and paper.
Sure.
And you'd never, you could use grid paper and design a little bit of a map or something like that to kind of give the players an idea of where they're moving and what they're doing and space and all that. But ultimately, you don't even have to play like that.
Idea is that you are visualizing that world.
Yeah, I could say, I want to run 30 feet and I want to attack the nearest goblin. And the dungeon master can yay or nay.
Well, and what's funny too about D&D, which is sort of the it counters what we were just discussing with mm-hmm. The art being wrong, like you have a Jigglypuff in your Charizard or whatever. Like I used to play and I would go to the comic book store and buy all the like 5-cent hero clicks
mm-hmm.
because they were good figures, like they were painted, and I'd have like 1,000 She-Hulks, and those were like my goons, right?
Yeah.
And it was great because you brought in new people because you had figures. You had mm-hmm. something tangible to hold and to make action with.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to get into like the philosophy of what like pieces and figures do to influence game decisions, but it brought in a different demographic. But also, the same people who would have been like, you know what, we don't even need these figures, they're not hindered by She-Hulk
right.
running
right.
around
exactly.
fighting Kingpin. Like nobody had a problem with that because they saw them as just like a blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I think the
right.
art in Dungeons and Dragons doesn't just help sell through advertisement the game, but I think it also helps people who have maybe less of an imagination as, say, the people who got into it when it didn't have all those beautiful images and stuff like that. Because, you know, your imagination tells you what an elf looks like. And it's completely different from the way I look at how an elf should be. I mean, but when you look at like how Dungeons and Dragons has depicted, the artist has depicted what an elf looks like,
mm-hmm.
it kind of locks you into that idea of what an elf should be, you know? So,
I don't even know what's on the 5th edition book, and I've got it in my
car. Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, an elf for you could have super long pointy ears.
Right.
For me, it could have short, like, Santa elf ears.
The eyebrows.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But conversely, I've had people in my party that absolutely want me to pull the monster manual out. They're like, I need to see what a mind flayer is. Like, I'd like to know.
Yeah.
It's art in Dungeons & Dragons is a very additive thing. It mm-hmm. doesn't detract from anything at all. It only adds, and it makes it more accessible,
mm-hmm.
Which is a really good point. And that's also how I feel about Yu-Gi-Oh! And I know that we're spending a lot of time on card games.
God, mine's a card game, too. Spoilers.
Not board games. But Yu-Gi-Oh! I feel 90% of the time, I don't care what the artwork is.
Right.
I don't play Yu-Gi-Oh! So 100% of the time, I don't care. But when I'm looking at a card, like, you know, I'm doing it at work, and I'm looking through stacks of cards. The only time I'm like, oh, this is a cool card, is with the artwork. But as a non-player, I'm looking at them like that. If I were a player, the mechanic is way more important than the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Yu-Gi-Oh! Is set up is like if it's, you know, XYZ Dragon, and then it's XYZ Dragon blah blah blah, or Noble Knight blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all named. You don't have to worry about the picture. Half of them aren't in TV shows, so there's no visualization that you need to continue like you do with Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about the tribal mechanic, which is written on the card, not demonstrated in the picture. The pictures are almost always a character in a like abstract background. It's not a character in an environment doing an action. It's a dragon with like a shiny purple background, and that's all that it is.
Mm-hmm.
So all you're doing is seeing a dragon, but you could lose that and not lose anything on the card, I would feel. And if you replace that with like a large trap symbol or a large spell symbol or a large monster symbol on the card itself so that you had the differentiation between trap, spell, and creature, you wouldn't lose anything in Yu-Gi-Oh! But I feel the complete opposite about Magic, because so much of the game is about the demonstration and it helps you understand the mechanics.
Yeah, I think the artwork in Magic the Gathering definitely helps attract the newcomer,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, when I first started playing, I saw the cards and I thought, whoa, those are really sweet.
Yeah.
And then I sat down and I collected up the cards I thought looked the coolest, had a really shitty deck. But once I started to learn how to play the game, and I've been playing for since 2002, so since like the Onslaught set, which is way old school.
Yeah.
Over time, the art became less and less important to me. And the mechanic became more and more important to me because I became more competition-driven for the game rather than doing it simply for the appeal. But I've since come out of that, and now I'm just all about you know, cool art on the card and what looks flashy and nice and all that. And I play, and I'll look at a card or someone's card and be like, oh my god, that's so sweet. You know, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah. Well, and you touched on the point that I had sort of brought up as well, is that what game would be successful or not successful without the art?
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk about its advertisement capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And Magic is a brand. And so this is where I have to sort of draw a line with the question. Because if I look at a game like, say, Legendary, which, spoilers, is the game I'm going to talk about that wouldn't succeed. But if I look at a game like Legendary, it's based off intellectual property that exists elsewhere. So I am still assuming that you know what Captain America looks like. I'm still assuming you know what those characters look like. But if you look at something like Magic, Magic only exists within its brand, within the card game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's like, am I wrong? Is there a tabletop? Or is there like pen and paper Magic?
No, because Wizards of the Coast that owns Magic owns Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
So that's the tabletop pen and paper.
If you wanted to play, I'm sure there are people who play as Jace in like Dungeons and Dragons. They try to create that game. They try to create that world. And if I remember right, someone tweeted out not too long ago about setting up a sort of Magic the Gathering based Dungeons and Dragons campaign, and some popular dungeon master that, you know, streams games like retweeted it or something like that, and they thought it was great, or someone at WotC did.
But that's not a product, though.
But yeah, it's not like a campaign book like Curse of Strahd.
So they have comic books.
Okay, so
there's
good.
Multiple comic book series that are based in different worlds of Magic. Aside from that, though, comic books, and are there novel series?
They have the app game. They do like an ebook series. They don't have the printed book anymore. Which I'm sorely disappointed
but
with.
I mean, even that isn't a visual medium.
Yeah.
So there's a movie coming out, but aside from that, it's comics and then the cards.
And let's just say the three of us, because we would be all, I would think that each of us represents a different aspect of a target demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you're going to succeed in a card game off your core demographic. Okay, so I didn't know any of those things existed, all right? But what value with Magic is that, I mean, I haven't played the game in 10 years, but I could probably tell you exactly what the font is. I could even probably tell you, based on a drawing I saw, whether or not it would be appropriate for Magic, whether or not it was even a Magic card. I bet you, if you showed me 10 drawings and 6 of them were Magic cards, mm-hmm. I bet you I'd get 4 of them right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, there is a very distinct style and design of their...
Which is incredible because you have tons of different artists.
Right.
So what I'm getting at is let's look at it from the ability, the marketability. Is like a lot of people get brought into Magic. I would say there's 2 reasons why people get brought into Magic.
Dragons.
It's a tour de force. If I want to play a card game, I'm playing the biggest card game.
Right.
Come join the revolution. Every time you see those kind of card games or like a MMO, they enlist you by showing everyone is doing it.
Yeah.
This is a movement that you want to be a part of. You can't live without it.
Yeah.
And the second thing is the continuing brand repetition. And if you don't have a defined brand or you're not based off an existing IP, that's a huge struggle. So how I guarantee you that Magic wouldn't be anywhere. I mean, anywhere. You wouldn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
Had it not been for the consistency and art direction, which is reinforced in its mechanics of the game.
Yeah, and to back you up on that, I remember when they first introduced Planeswalkers to the game, it was such a big deal that they had a commercial, like on TV, where high school kids were going and answering the call to become a Planeswalker, yeah. were morphing into these wizards and mages and stuff, which would eventually become the Planeswalkers in the game, and they were fighting like hordes of, you know, these creatures and stuff like that, and they're casting their cards and stuff.
So, sure.
Yeah.
And I'm even saying that, like, and I think that's a good point. Where I'm drawing my line still too is maybe you could still have a commercial, and maybe the commercial could still have a dragon in it, but it's the connection between the advertising and what you're getting in your product. Like those two things are one and the same, and so it reinforces, like, this is the thing everyone's talking about, and now I have it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have all of these things, and they have their action, and there's dragons, and there's slivers, and there's goblins, and there's little impish-looking Donald Trumps running around on your cards. Like, that's super cool. So, like, that's where I feel like the branding is so reinforced with the graphics, you know, the illustration and the design.
Yeah.
So let me get to my one that I don't think would succeed, and it comes down to the same definitions I'm going on, is that the art has to not only aesthetically improve the game, but mechanically improve the game. So my choice, again, is a card game, and that's Legendary. I think a lot of deck builders would fall in this regard. So the Legendary, it's cooperative. Yes, it's cooperative. I mean, there's a weird little, like, I'm the best superhero mechanic. But you're fighting one supervillain, right?
Mm-hmm.
The build of the game is so complicated. You've got like 15 different decks you have to go through. It's like different classifications of cards, and like 7 of them you'll choose. You know, each one may have like 10 different choices, and you need to choose 3 out of this classification, and 2 out of this one, and 1 out of this one, and 2 out of this one, and shuffle it all together, and that's your villain deck, and then all your heroes are. All of these things. And they all are represented and reinforced based on the design. So, like, you're choosing your villains, and you're choosing, you want to fight Dr. Doom, and he's got the Doom bots, and he's got the Sinister Six because you're weird, and you just want to throw them in. But all those cards, you have, they're like packs of them. So, like, you have all the Sinister Six cards, you have all the Doom bot cards, and you need to put them all together into this villain deck. And then you make your heroes, and you pick like 5 heroes, and you're going to choose the Avengers. Let's just make it easy, so I don't have to list a bunch of guys. And you shuffle them all together. And this process takes, like, no joke, like 30 to 45 minutes to build these decks, to be ready to play the game.
Dang.
So, all right away, my argument of mechanics. So without the design, the graphics, the card, all the backs look the same. This isn't like another card game or board game, where each back has like a different label on it. Like, it's, these are your item cards, these are your right. weapon cards, these are your monsters.
It's important you can shuffle them together.
All of them are the same back.
The randomness is important.
But you, from a construction standpoint, it would be a nightmare. Like, the game, not only would it be difficult to group cards together, but it wouldn't be any fun. Like, just building it is fun because you're seeing all the villains you're putting together. Oh, this is going to be great. But then, from an aesthetic standpoint, you buy the cards then for your heroes. So you're building a Rocket Raccoon deck, or you're building a Captain America deck, and all those cards are coming together, and you're seeing your hero, and like you're playing your cards out, and he's punching, and then he's dodging, and then he's kicking, and then he's throwing his shield or something. And all like from an aesthetic standpoint, even though you know what those characters look like outside of this art, it's just reinforcing the motif so much more. So like mm-hmm. Both of those things would hurt the game substantially if they weren't there. But without art at all, like holy shit! I mean, the game is dead in the water.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah. It's definitely extremely important with the fact that it is an IP. Because mm-hmm. if you licensed it and then only use the names of comic books and movies, which are both very visual mediums, you would lose out on utilizing the assets that you purchased in buying those intellectual properties.
Well, certainly, and construction wouldn't be... it would be a mess. Like, yeah. The construction of the game, without any pictures, or like substantial pictures, I should say,
mm-hmm.
terrible. Just reprehensible. I do find it interesting, though, that... this is where I get into games that succeed, and there's a lot of them. It's a lot more than you probably would think right away.
Yeah.
When people think of board games, though, they're probably thinking of games that don't have any real artistic direction. They're thinking of Perfection, Yahtzee.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking of Sorry. Think of Sorry. I mean, Sorry has a graphic design. You know the figure, like the piece.
It's kind of like Monopoly.
I love that the Sorry piece, is their marketing
tool. Yeah, absolutely. Because like, it's like, you know the piece.
Yeah, the cover of the board game is two Sorry pieces, like, smashing into each other. Like, you will knock each other around as these tiny little garbage pieces.
Sure.
Like, but imagine if those two things were, like, gladiators. And the whole board game was like Roman emperor themed, and you're going around the Coliseum trying to get to the middle, like the safe
Sorry,
zone
I'm going to cut your head off.
Yeah,
and bump it in a square
like
yellow.
Two gladiators like clashing shield to shield. Would Sorry sell better as that?
I think it would.
Two colored pieces.
I don't think it would at all, and that's because it's
because of the simplicity.
The simplicity of the game. I think that just the act of playing the game has become so synonymous. Like, you think of Sorry, you think of hitting the slide and knocking somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get the emotions of the actions in the game. The mechanics are 90%. The design is, like, the
Well, yeah, 10. I mean, there's games like that, like Monopoly, that sell better when they license, like, certain themes, like Legend of Zelda Monopoly, the Avengers Monopoly, things like that. Yeah, because they're like, oh, I really like Zelda, so I'm going to go buy that Monopoly.
Let me argue Monopoly, though. I'm going to argue.
If all Monopoly was just the original design Monopoly, I don't know that it would.
Let me disagree with you. So the thing with Monopoly is, yeah, it sold gangbusters, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was like, it's been around now for over 100 years. Let's talk about Monopoly today. How do you sell Monopoly today? You hold a campaign to choose new figures.
I'm going to buy it.
Absolutely.
What are the new figures?
It's
something good.
There's all kinds of really weird ones. So why don't you go ahead and punch in on your little computer box there.
No,
and find
I'll
them.
Figure
but
it out.
But what I'm saying is that while I do agree with you that the themes definitely are icing on the cake for people,
mm-hmm.
like even the core game itself sells on the Mr. Moneybags or whatever.
Yeah.
And you, but also... the art of the figures, the pieces. Because art doesn't necessarily just have to be two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Like, I think that pieces and design on pieces is super important.
Yeah.
The 3D modeling.
Yeah, well, I definitely think Monopoly is a game that every family should own, like, one copy of Monopoly. You know,
and not know how to play it?
Yeah, it's good to kill
play
time, and, you know, and just...
Ugh.
They know how to play it, just the
a good family
way.
Night. But, yeah, I think I wouldn't buy... Monopoly. If I had to own my copy of Monopoly, because there are different themes, I would go buy a themed version versus the regular
really?
One. Right? Yeah. But
I would choose the original.
But if I only had to choose
the new one,
because it has new figures.
Yeah. If okay. I only had to choose the original one, I would go and buy it anyway.
Well, and when I think
See,
of Monopoly,
that's the art. The art is giving you the extra option.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't
exactly.
stop you. You'd still feel the need to own a copy of Monopoly.
Right.
Monopoly
yeah.
is tough because it is. It's so influential, and the iconography is it defines an era.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think of the do not go to jail guy, and like, it doesn't have any value in the game at all.
It's almost become like a catchphrase.
That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You think of the community chest, like the chance cards and community chest cards,
mm-hmm.
and that just the design and the formatting has been
mimicked in our pop culture for forever. Like, you can see those sort of things being, you know, repetition. And it's hard to say to us, like, the art isn't important because it's a culture. Like, it's such a culture significance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard, but when I think of games like Yahtzee is just a cup and some dice.
Yeah.
And I think that the mainstream media, like, the mainstream, like, gamers, they almost don't even buy the games. Like, if they look complicated, if they look thematic, it seems to drive away the most...
Yeah.
The mass population.
Yeah, I remember playing Yahtzee when I was a kid, and my parents did all the math. But, like, now, when I played it a few months ago with my younger sister, and I thought, oh, geez, I got to do all this math. But then when I played it, I was like, wow, it's really simple. Yeah, I don't know why I was intimidated by this.
Well, and they add in the different themes to draw in people, the other people.
Yeah, the Doctor Who Yahtzee is probably
the
worst.
That's right, but they're almost buying it more as a collectible than anything. Like, you buy the Legend of Zelda one, and you probably don't sack it with your board games. You probably go put it with all your other Legend of Zelda things.
Yeah.
And I find that really interesting. But again, just to close out my point, it's the tests of time have shown that a successful mechanic tabletop game is simple with almost no graphics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really, really interesting. Yeah. Did you get the figures? Monopoly figures?
I did.
Let's hear them.
Has a cat always been one of the figures?
It was a recent. It was like a
so the dog was a terrier, right?
So there's a terrier, and then a car, a boat, and a hat.
Uh-huh, the boat's new.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. And they're a cat. And those are showing as silver, like they're old.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't recognize
the cat is semi new. I don't want to.
Couple years ago.
Well, wasn't there a thumbtack was one of them?
Yeah, but it got removed.
A thimble got removed, and then
did the iron get removed?
The iron is removed.
It's basically all the symbols of feminist depression. I mean, I'm not trying to point, but it does seem like all of those antiquated turn of the century items. Not just that, like, we don't use thimbles anymore. But
so
the thimble,
the boot, the wheelbarrow, and the thimble got taken out.
Mm-hmm.
The iron and something else got taken out for the cat and the battleship.
Yeah.
I don't know what the other thing is. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But being replaced for those three items, the boot, the thimble, and
some of these are so ridiculous.
The other one I said is a rubber ducky.
Jesus Christ.
A penguin.
A penguin.
And a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Okay. A T-Rex. But the penguin, man.
Dude,
what's the penguin doing in there? Now, if they want to make it look like Tux, and it's like the Linux penguin, then...
Oh, that'd be great. Like a little chubby penguin. Right.
I think at this point, it would be so much more appropriate in Monopoly...
Wheelbarrow.
If they chose... Well, I like the wheelbarrow, because I think...
I liked it, too.
I think that there should be a lot more designs that represent Monopoly companies, like companies that monopolize. Like, I would have like a tech symbol. Like, it doesn't have to be one specifically, but one that you would be like, oh, this looks like a Google app.
An Apple.
App. And so, like, you would know that this is the tech industry. And I think it'd be really fun to imagine the idea of each, like, this is Petrochem. And this is like, this is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, as represent those industries, taking over the Monopoly board.
That totally makes sense.
So I'm serious. I just popped in my brain, but I always thought that would be I liked the car because it represented like the automobile industry.
It should represent an industry.
And you could put the dog in it. If you sat him up, you could put him in the car and he's a dog driving car. And you put the hat on him and that wouldn't fit, but you were like really bought into the idea of combining the pieces. Did you guys ever sell your pieces?
No. Can you?
Oh, so like it's one
is
of my
a market for them.
So we could do an entire I don't mean like. Okay, let me. I think
Wait,
we could do a whole
in the game. Sell them in the game. Oh,
so
okay.
We could do a whole episode. I used to do a lot of Monopoly. This is gonna be it's a weird quirk, but like even like competitively, like Monopoly tournaments, and it was really fun to hear how like people's house rules of what they could do. And selling pieces was always one of my favorites. Like you could sell your piece to a friend, and then they would get like two turns, but you would have to continue to like keep your finger on the board. Like you'd have to denote where you are with your finger.
Oh jeez.
So it was cumbersome, but you would also get like another piece. Like, people came up with all kinds of really fun rules.
How do we tie that back into art?
Well, I just wanted to talk about that because it's neat.
Seeing if we could.
I mean, if you had a really really fancy painted fingernail, I guess.
There's this.
What if one of the figures was a hand pointing down?
Everyone has sold their pieces to one player, uh-huh. And so everyone's playing the game with just their fingers. Going all the way around the game.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Or if there was like a little spot on the estate for your finger, like it's the circle of shame.
Yeah, yeah. There's like a little notch carved out of all the board.
I'm gonna up the ante. So there's only enough room for one finger.
Oh, that's good. So the first person who sells is the only person who sells.
Right, it's like a Thunderdome type situation. Yeah. So like two figures enter, one finger leaves.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. There can only be one finger.
That's right. Fingers. That's right. Yeah. So
thumb wars to find out who it is.
But I always thought that the theming those pieces off of industries would be just perfect. But yeah. I would probably be disappointed by how few people would appreciate it. So
And like, it's funny because Monopoly, the times I've played the most haven't been the standard Monopoly set. It's always been, I have Pokemon Monopoly. I've never seen Pokemon Monopoly. Let's play Pokemon Monopoly.
Sure.
And you're buying like the Pokemon and the gyms and stuff like that.
Never made any sense to me. Most of those you're like, I put a hotel on Zoras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. But it's always been stuff like that. Like people showing me, I have this Monopoly set. Do you want to play? Because you've never seen Monopoly. Mm-hmm. So it's more the exploration of what's on the board than it is wanting to play the game. And that is like 100% art driving me playing the game, not purchasing the game or whether the game is fun or not. Mm-hmm. So the game's always the same and the art doesn't change whether I do like the game or don't like the game.
Well, and I would say that objectively, I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone. There's probably that one guy who has like pieces of Monopoly art all over his walls or something. But objectively, it only was there to serve the most basic function the art was.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in spite of that, not only did it start to succeed, but it's also that art has become this movement of that early like 20s, 30s, 40s. I would not be surprised or shocked to see that art amongst some of the most prolific, you know, design of that time.
Sure, like people recognizing the McDonald's M or sure. something like that. Like,
well, or you have like the Andy Warhol soup can.
Yeah.
Like that's the same kind of concept, but you've got that now for the art of right. Monopoly. It sort of comes back to the does the money bags have a monocle or not?
Right. Yeah, so in closing, I think like we're not making a case for whether games should go without artwork because we've already talked about how when good games with great mechanics have good artwork, it only helps to reinforce that game. And even if there are games with terrible art that make you not want to play it, if the mechanic is there, you'll still play it and you'll still enjoy it. But I think every game has to have art. It's just as important as the mechanics. You know, it plays just as big of a role because it catches your eye, it draws you in or pushes you away until you play it. But ultimately, unless your Cards Against Humanity,
sure, well,
you're probably going to need a little bit of pretty picture or something to push your product.
I would say the art has to reinforce the mechanics of the game. That above anything else.
Right.
If you have one mechanic, it's roll dice, probably don't need art very much. Mm-hmm. But I would say that if the more mechanics you have, your art is exponential.
Right. Yeah.
The value. And of course, think of it when you're talking about branding and advertising and designing your box.
Yeah.
Designing there's an art even to the size of your box.
Yeah. Like
the shape of it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And when you have a game with great mechanics and great art, it's money. That's it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's gonna do it for this week of Hypothetically Speaking. So thank you, Sean. Thank you, John. And we will catch you later.
Yep.
Peace.
I will